gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Dean LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Alba!
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our Man of the Booth, Booth Man! Guys, a little bit of sad business to get out of the way first. As per usual, unfortunately, Ron Mars is not going to be here tonight. He was supposed to be one of the guests on the show. I'm sorry to anybody that came out to see him. He just got back from Canada, where I believe he was visiting his girlfriend at camp. And
nice. She's really hot, I heard.
Yeah, she's totally hot.
You wouldn't know her.
Yeah, he did actually just get back from Canada today, and unfortunately could not make it here in time for the show.
Hey, guys. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah! Nice. Speaking of Cinco de Mayo, totally out of nowhere, what is your favorite Spanish-American comic book character, guys?
I'm going to say El Hulk.
Interesting. Borderline good. Offensive.
Good.
Borderline
fake
offensive.
Answer. I'll say Lucha Libre.
Also offensive.
I mean, not so much offensive because it's a, you know, real comic book.
Really good.
Yeah. Nice. What would you say?
The Mayan people. I think it's all of the cool. Mayan culture in general.
Wow, that's not offensive.
Actually offensive.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And yeah. With that amazing start, good bit, guys. Good bit planned in advance. Love it. We have a great guest for you. We're very excited to have you here. So let's bring him out, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yay!
Welcome.
All right, Mike.
Yeah. What's up?
Yo. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk. You have performed comedy at a bunch of Comic-Cons.
Yes. I performed at the New York Comic-Con this year. If you were... It was amazing.
People loved it.
Yeah. No, it was fantastic. If you were... it was Saturday at 6:30 on like the fourth floor. If you were right like in between...
That's the hot spot.
Oh, yes. No, it was like
where Seinfeld started.
Like 70, like 80 people there, just all dressed up and sad in their own beautiful ways. what was really amazing about it was I got heckled 2 minutes into my act by a guy in a 9-foot Hulk costume.
Nice.
9 foot?
Yes,
it was huge.
You guys were at the con this year, right?
Oh yeah.
Did you? They had a. What happened was they had a costume contest right before the comedy show, and they literally like segged into each other, and he had won. Like it was a fantastic. It had like light up eyes and like the.
Wow.
Like it really did look like Lou Ferrigno for a sec, in a 9-foot costume.
Was it Lou Ferrigno?
It was not Lou Ferrigno. But he started heckling me because he had just won and was still like, you know,
pumped.
In the spotlight.
Flush for victory. Yeah.
Yes. It's the most dignified I'd ever seen the Hulk. He's usually isn't he like usually like walking off all set, like why Hulk angry? Yeah. He was really proud of himself.
Yeah. Why Hulk proud?
Hulk ruined comic sets. Hulk show no sense of decency.
So do you find then when you're performing your material for say a regular comedy club crowd versus for a Comic-Con crowd, which do you find harder?
Oh, the Comic-Con crowd is the easiest. It is the I could easily say this. I've done over like 500-600 shows since I started. That 7 minutes at Comic-Con this year was the only 7 minutes I ever truly got to be myself on stage.
Wow, nice.
It was like wow. Going, you know, I actually...
Including right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell you're really holding back.
Yes.
Right now.
Wait till I go Nova. But this is what ended up... I actually, right after I got off stage, I had the exact conversation that Superman has with Darkseid in the last Justice League episode, where he's like, everyone is like cardboard to me, but I finally get to cut loose. And that's what it felt like.
So you basically annihilated the audience.
Right? Yeah, it was fantastic. I actually got several shows and opportunities out of it.
Awesome.
So the guy from awesome. Comics Comedy Club just happened to be there, which is really weird. He's like, I'm just going to scout for comics. over at the Comic-Con.
Maybe he misread the sign.
But then he saw just like a bunch of fat guys in glasses. Is like, no, I'm still in the right place.
I wish I could see your set, but I was on the 9th floor in a janitor's closet doing an improv set. So I must have missed. There wasn't many agents up there.
I did see improv Star Trek, which is just really sad.
Wait a second. Who are you shitting on right now?
I'm not shitting on anybody.
You're shitting on the same level as we.
Were you improv Star Trek?
No, but I'm saying like...
Were you sketch Battlestar Galactica?
I don't know if Pete explained the show, but we actually do improv Star Wars about halfway through this.
Yeah. Can you hang?
I can hang.
Cool. Oh, hello, I'm just sweeping up the Death Star.
Really, that's a very tried and true initiation.
We do a herald where we're Wookiees for 2 hours. Yeah. It'll blow your minds.
Just shout out the name of a member of the cast in the Mos Eisley Cantina, and we can then...
It just ends with us doing this for 2 hours.
It's based on the principles of, and yes...
Yeah. Oh, man.
Good night.
We're basically doing what we're making fun of right now. So let's move on with our first section, which we'd like to call the stack.
Yeah.
First thing we're going to talk about, least expensive comic book this week from Free Comic Book Day. Yes. It's The Avengers, courtesy of Marvel from Brian Bendis and Jim Cheung. What do you guys think about this? Was it worth it?
Yeah, for a free comic was awesome. First, I'd just like to say I really enjoyed the fact that I felt like a giant holding this book. It's a little smaller, and I was like, I'm growing.
Well, everyone was mad. Everyone was mad. It's puberty. Everyone was mad about this comic being like, what, half an inch smaller than a regular comic. Right. Exactly what I was trying to get across. I thought it was...
I'm mad that it's not for resale.
Yeah, but... I thought it was a nice story. It was really it was the new Avengers versus the Dark Avengers, but except they were actually fighting an ice giant.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I felt like you can't get upset at the size, especially because it's free and it's new. Like a lot of for Free Comic Book Day, people kind of reprint old stories, you know, which is fine. But I feel like they paid someone to do, and they're not going to make any money on it, so if they want to make it smaller so it's not as expensive.
Yeah, Marvel has consistently, I think, the past couple of years, essentially won Free Comic Book Day by doing this, by releasing something that wasn't just a sampler, wasn't just a reprint, wasn't something that was like a 10-2-page story and then a bunch of filler. This is a full comic book from top name talent, which is the same thing they did last year. They had, what was it, Dan Slott and Phil Jimenez doing Spider-Man, and this is tying into, you know, the biggest event of the Marvel Universe, Dark Reign. So, kudos to them.
Do you think that they should have held off on this confrontation, though?
Yeah, this is, you're right, this is the first time they kind of...
Yeah, it's pretty, like, it's a pretty huge event, I mean...
I don't think so. I mean, that makes it even bigger. It makes it a reason, not that comic book fans need much of a reason to go out and get free comics at a comic book store, but it gives them a really good reason to maybe wake up, like, an hour earlier to get up on it.
It's true, that's where the line is.
Yes, pretty much.
And what I loved about this is that like it was a done in one, which like I'm a fan of like the 60s and 70s comics when that was how everything was done pretty much. And it's like I can't spend $4 and get a complete story, but I could get one for free.
There's a lesson in there.
Well, yeah. Jonah Hex is constantly a one and done.
There we go.
So. All right.
Yeah. Well, it's like how Crack is awesome the first time and it's totally free.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
And then it's free the second time.
Not me. I had to pay a lot for my first time.
Oh, jeez. You got to know my deal with you guys. Would you say pick this up? I don't know. I'm not even going to ask that. Let's move on. Talk about Marvel Assistant Size Spectacular number 2.
Yeah!
So, for those of you who didn't pick this up, this is 3 one-off short stories pitched by the Marvel assistant editors. What?
He got a new beer. He wanted to show that.
You get two beers?
I get two waters, so I get two beers.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's in the budget. Right on.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming out.
This is what you paid for. Pete, you love this book. You want to talk about it?
Sure. I would love to talk about it. I just like the idea that Marvel is letting the assistant editors kind of do what they want to do, and I feel like they did an amazing job with the first one, and the second one is just as good. So I feel like I'm excited with the idea that, you know, just because we're well-established and have, like, a high level of writing and story and art, that they're not going to let somebody else give it a try. So it's exciting, and I'm glad that it worked.
Yeah. There's also the call-in element, or I guess the email-in element, where you can vote on your favorite story and see that continue.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good way of getting fans to interact?
Definitely. Well, this the book is, I mean, I don't know how many people bought it or would follow, would want to have one of these continue, but there's only one that I thought was really great, the Galacta one.
No, yeah, that's not true.
Right?
There was a lot of great ones. The Luke Cage one was fantastic.
That was all true.
He's fighting for the rights of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
There's a villain named Lone Shark, L-O-N-E.
Working on that guy.
Which, he looks exactly like Manfish, for those in the know, who was a Luke Cage villain from the 70s.
Manfish?
Yeah, Manfish. What was he like? well, he was a manfish. He was literally a man fell into radioactive waters and got the best abilities of a fish.
Which was that? Swim.
Swapping.
What'd you say? Taste Swapping. For worms.
Man, you don't know what fish are.
He lives in the booth. I don't know.
That's fair. Not a lot of fish to do there. I also think the Galacta story was pretty good. This is by Adam Warren, writing it really well. I mean, he's great. And the art's really good as well. And it works very nicely, fitting into continuity while adding a new wrinkle to it, that being Galactus' daughter. It's fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only thing I have against the writing in for your favorite is I just think it should be enjoyed, like, I don't know, someone should be like, oh, this one sucks and this one's better. I'd be like, you know.
You don't want people to choose their favorites.
Well, when you say
you want
like
everyone
that,
to be equal, everyone's special.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Cool. Would you say pick it up?
Yeah.
But what about all the rest of the comics out there? Would you say pick all of them up?
No.
You're choosing stuff. All right, let's move on to a little something Pete bought, which is XXL Magazine. You guys, there are some great articles in this issue. What did you think?
Yeah.
We're
trying to expand our kind of
well,
what we cover here.
If you're
going to
have M&M as a puncher, I'm going to pick it up. I was intrigued.
Yeah. Just to be totally dead serious for a second, you guys.
Fred Van Lenny wrote it.
I just have a feeling that if M&M's family was murdered in Central Park, he would just write a lot of positive songs about it. I don't think he would necessarily go into crime fighting.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah, probably. Well, at the very least, yeah, it's probably some cheery pop songs. This is, as Pete was saying, Fred Van Lente writing a comic, which is Eminem meets up with the Punisher.
Yeah.
It's continued online, so there is that component there. Read the rest of it. Draws you into Marvel's website.
You're really drawn in.
Yeah, you're really drawn in by the story. I thought it was a fun story. It's silly. It's exactly what you think.
Well, what happens is Eminem finishes a show, and he's heading out with his crew, and the Punisher shoots them all.
Oh.
And Eminem is like, what's the deal with this Punisher guy? And then he starts shooting at the Punisher, and then they meet another guy, and then he shoots both of them. Eminem and the Punisher. Cliffhanger to be continued. Who lives, who dies?
First of all, you missed the best part. Eminem is beating the Punisher with the butt of a gun, singing lyrics to a song, which I thought was
hilarious. As a Punisher fan, how do you feel having the Punisher get beat by Little Eminem?
Well, if you go online, you see the Punisher gets
his day.
He takes care of business. But
cool.
I don't want to ruin it for you, but basically how it works.
Don't ruin this story. Everyone's on a chair.
The Punisher leaves Eminem. He like. He leaves him on a floating iceberg and just kind of waves as him. He drives off in the boat. It's pretty funny. But
they go from inner city Detroit to an iceberg.
Yeah, that's right.
I got to read this. I got to find out how this twist is.
You don't want to bleep with Shady because Shady will bleep and kill you.
Yeah.
It's one of the
dots. It's fun.
One of
them. I thought it was fun. It's silly.
Does the Punisher ever rap in the...
No.
That's the real crossover. We've all seen these guns.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they haven't done that since Thomas Jane rapped over the end credits of the last Punisher movie.
Oh.
The second to last Punisher movie. Second to last Punisher movie.
That's yes.
True. After our scores, improv, we're going to do a rap battle.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Would you guys say pick up XXL?
No, get a subscription.
Yeah, get a subscription. Don't be cheap.
It's much cheaper and it gets mailed to your house. It's great. Justice Society of America number 26.
Yes.
This is Geoff Johns' last issue on the title, and he brings back favorite Dale Eaglesham to do the art. What did you guys think about this?
Horrible. If you want to see superheroes go shopping and then have a birthday party, you will love this comic.
You sold me.
Yeah. So you liked Eminem better than this.
Careful. I'm not saying that.
I think that is what you said.
I'm not saying that.
Eminem on an iceberg. No. This, well, it is, I will say, I love Geoff Johns and JSA, and this, it was kind of a weird way to go out. It's kind of a very light, kind of jokey comic. I like Stargirl because she's like Starman, so that's, you get to see a lot of her. I think it's weird, the big thing is she's getting her braces, it's her birthday,
yeah.
She's getting her braces removed. And there's a real twist at the end that
there's a lot of braces in this issue.
She ends up with the braces still on at the end.
What?
Slayers!
Oh! You ruined it! Oh, you ruined it!
So basically, don't pick up the issue because it's ruined for you now.
Yeah.
Having said that, there were some nice moments. I mean, these are the characters he likes best, like Stargirl, Starman, and the other ones.
Wow. He brought Eaglesham back to draw a lot of braces, is essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. And splash pages. That's the actual...
There's a lot of...
Again, like, you know, I love...
Dentistry.
Or
the dentist.
Yeah, and there's a lot of splash pages in there. I'm all... That's not good, but it feels like they're like, hey, we got to sell a lot of art. We gotta make some art, and we got to get Dale Eaglesham out on the street selling pieces of art from JSA, and that's how we're going to make money for DC. And I just feel like as an issue, it just didn't really read as a complete story.
Do you feel like splash pages to me always seem like when they're in a rush, like I remember like the later Fantastic Four with Kirby was just like all splash pages, whereas when it started it was like smaller panels, but he was overworked towards the end. It always seemed like a lazy way out to do a lot of splash pages.
I don't know, sometimes the splash page can really kind of hammer a point home, like really kind of set up like a battle or the kind of like how big this event is. And
that
sometimes
here, I think it's supposed to be iconic. I mean, that's actually, they're going for very Norman.
Very Norman, yeah.
Type things, so.
A little too much of that, though.
Yeah.
We get it, they're folksy.
Yeah.
They're real good clubs.
Nope.
Well, if you got all the rest of them, I mean, it finishes up some of the storylines. So yeah, pick it up.
Yeah. Cool. This one, I'm talking about Battle for the Cowl, the Underground number one of one. What'd you guys think about this?
Now, out of all the Battle for the Cowl books, I felt like this one was my favorite thus far. I feel like it answered some questions, dealt with some stuff where the other ones were a little kind of not as much enjoyable, I guess.
Yeah.
That's
this whole event is kind of bad. Has been kind of bad so far. I don't know if anyone else is reading.
Yeah.
But this one, it's like a bunch of short stories about the villains. It's nice to see Catwoman around.
Yeah.
Doing
a good job with Catwoman this one.
It's like a bunch of short stories, or like Crash, sort of.
Yeah, it's like Crash.
Yeah!
Or like, it's like Shortcuts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Magnolia.
Well, there's a whole, scene where Ron walks around with no bottoms on. Shortcuts?
Is he a redhead?
Where am I, Robin Alvin Fast?
Is he a redhead?
Like Julianne Moore.
There we go.
You pointed to an empty seat of your Robert Altman crews and the
disco ball.
Yeah.
This is good. This is actually my favorite issue of the Battle for the Cowl stuff so far because it actually has characters and things actually happen.
Yep.
On the other hand, it feels like it's all middle. You know, these characters have started in somewhere else in some other issue. They're gonna end up in some other place. So this is just kind of where they are right now.
It's like attendance.
Exactly. And it's well written for what it is. It also sets up Gotham City Sirens, which is essentially Charlie's Angels with the Riddler as Charlie. So I think you know now whether you think that's fun or not.
Who are the angels?
They are Catwoman, Harley Quinn, and Poison Ivy.
And Holly Madden. there's been a lot of... everyone's mad online about Sirens and the Marvel kind of version of that, Divas.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be like basically two comics about girls. And I think that's...
Well, I think that's pretty shitty. The whole idea of it.
Wait, what? Having girls?
Ah.
Wow.
Well, Birds of Prey is getting canceled, right? If I'm not mistaken.
He's getting too far. He is getting.
Well, but I think it's weird. It's like, well, Birds of Prey is canceled. Better get some ladies back in the book.
I think they canceled Birds of Prey so they could essentially make, like, bad Birds of Prey.
Nice.
Dark.
That's cool. All right. Yeah.
Not bad, like, quality-wise.
Poor quality.
Sexy. Right.
Sexy.
Sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
You go.
Live boobs.
Live boobs.
That's my review.
Nice. Do you think a lot of boobs or not a lot of boobs?
What's happened? Can we move on?
Sure, we can move on. Let's move on to talk about Miss Marvel.
Yeah!
Miss Marvel, number 38. Old Miss Marvel is dead. Bring on the new dark booby Miss
Marvel. Will the real Miss Marvel please stand up?
Hey!
Nice. You guys don't really read Miss Marvel. What do you think about this?
Well, I very much enjoyed it, and I was also impressed with the cover. They had the new Miss Marvel, and it wasn't like a shot of her ass or boobs, so I was happy with the headshot. I was like, yeah, tasteful, well done.
Yeah, that's my favorite shot in all of comics when they draw them. So their butt is sticking out, and basically their torso is turned around, so they're...
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's the old boobs and ass.
Yeah. Oh, hey, were you looking at me?
Yeah, it looks different in comics. That's not going to sell a lot of books.
Won't it?
Half the audience just walked out.
No, we
didn't have
it. No, don't bring it up. Oh, the Robert Altman section left. No.
I'm about to direct an ensemble comedy.
That's your Robert Altman.
Pretty good.
All right, you guys.
Beyond your range.
Yeah, he's dead. What's he going to do?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's Nixon. That might be Nixon.
Hey, it might be, but it might also be Robert Altman.
Hey, Alex.
Both icons. Hello.
I liked Miss Marvel. I thought it was well done. I thought it was a fun take on the evil villain taking the realm of Miss Marvel. I thought it was smart and funny. I enjoyed
it. It's interesting. What if there was like a whole like crossover where that happened, where like all the villains became the heroes?
Would they call it Dark Reign?
Yes, they would. This is nice. This is well written, and it's this whole thing where she's meeting with a psychologist, and he tricks her, and then she blows his hand off, and then she just walks out.
That's exactly what I think it would be like if I went to a shrink.
This is really good. Brian Reed, month after month, does a great
Please
job
don't
with
go.
The title. And Please this is no different. Go. You know, the Dark Reign stuff is kind of repetitive, I feel, at this point.
That was
it's funny. Like, oh man, they're evil, they kill people, except they're the heroes and nobody knows it, but everybody likes them anyway. But it keeps working for some reason, and in particular it really works here, and it's fun.
As long as they keep, like, JSA, they went to the dentist, this went to the psychologist, as long as they keep, like, fulfilling appointments, then, like, I think we're going to be fine.
Oh, absolutely.
There's two pages of her doing a highlights magazine. It's really... It's actually a splash page of her trying to
this
find what's wrong
is,
with the picture.
It's six issues about Goofus and Galan.
Yeah. One of her weaknesses.
It's a crossover.
One of her weaknesses is Rebus's, though.
Wow.
It's her
Keep
it going.
This is
keep it going.
You know what?
Yeah, thanks. Let's move on and talk about Batman Gotham After Midnight, number 12. We have loved this series, and here's a little bit of a spoiler. This issue was stupid.
this issue really hurts because it was so much fun. The art was fantastic. It was a fun little kind of like After Midnight kind of Batman world. Where
set in Gotham.
Yeah.
After Midnight.
Yeah. But it was different, it was fun, it was exciting, I loved it, and then they fucked us on the last issue.
I don't know, I didn't think it was that bad. The only thing is, it's wordy, and you already know who Midnight is at this point. So they spent the whole issue back.
Yeah, and it's just like backtracking.
So tortured about, and he used to date this woman.
Yeah,
it became a villain.
You don't get a final like battle scene to figure it out or to take care of the bad guy. It's Batman just kind of walking off, being okay with things.
The thing that's frustrating about it, I think I'm more agreeing with Pete on this, is that the first element. This is very gothic. Steve Niles is writing, obviously, a very
Gotham.
Nice after midnight.
It's later in the night.
Right. This is a gothic. It's in chapters. It's very arch, the whole thing. And generally, those novels end in a lot of text and a lot of exposition. And he's certainly going for that here, but it doesn't work in the comic book when you have this gorgeous, beautiful Kelly Jones art. Throughout the previous 11 issues, it's been propulsive. There's been action as well as the talking. It's been really fun and a good mystery. And here, it's almost nonstop people talking around text. And I think it makes sense in the sense of a gothic novel, but it doesn't make sense in the sense of a gothic comic book miniseries.
Well done, sir.
Pithy.
Thank you. I'm done with that.
The show's over. Also, I think Steve Niles is like leaving Midnight to be taken on in the canon of Batman, which I was like, I don't think so.
Really? Because I agree with you, kind of, but I think he was definitely doing that.
Yeah, but he makes a big scene. Alfred in this is like, opens up a new glass case in the Batcave. It's like, this top hat and cane will rest next to the dinosaur and giant penny for you to remember Midnight and love. And it's like, we get it. I don't think anyone's going to remember to draw that next to the dinosaur.
Where does the dinosaur come from? I've been wondering that for 20 years. Can anybody answer that for me? Is anybody...
Dinosaur in the Batcave?
Golden Age.
Good answer.
Pacific Island of mechanical dinosaurs, Batman and Robin in trunks and swinging from vines. They took one home.
Bless you. How was that shown in the comic? Batman was like, you know what, wrap up that dinosaur. That big spot in the cave.
Well, he's pretty rich. He just snaps his fingers. Yeah.
Well, it's like they have like all these costumes of like fallen heroes that have like died in tragic ways, and there's just this giant dinosaur.
It's Batman's softer side. he took the giant nickel out for the dinosaur.
It's
a penny.
There was a nickel there too. They took the nickel out.
Yeah, he used the nickel to get some candy at the supermarket. Let's move on to talk about Sherlock Holmes number one. Speaking about gothic and arch, this is Dynamite, I think.
Yep.
Dynamite relaunching the character. Here, I'll tell you what the title of this arc for the series is, and I think you'll know whether you're sold or not. It's called The Trial of Sherlock Holmes. And to me, that's a really cool title. It tells you, obviously, exactly what's going to happen here, but it teases you in a way. You want to know how did Sherlock Holmes end up on trial. I think it's really neat and exciting, and I do feel like this issue followed through on that promise.
What I like the most is it really captures the Sherlock Holmes feel from the stories and everything. Really brings it to life in a well-done way with the art and the writing. The voices are really well done. So I was very happy with this issue, and I feel like it's really setting up a lot of great stuff.
This guy's like a smarter Murder, She Wrote, Angela Lansbury.
You're done.
Just trying to be pithy.
What'd you think of the book?
I liked it all right. It's Sherlock Holmes is a character that annoys me, though. It's like...
Really?
Because it's all... It's like...
Because he's kind of like a know-it-all smartass.
I don't think Sherlock Holmes is really a smartass. He's not making a lot of zingers to Watson. Yeah. But I take your point. Salvin. But yeah, he annoys me because it's always... Watson's like, I chipped my coffee mug this morning. He's like, must have been storm blowing a wagon wheel through your window, and a scared cat jumped on the table, knocked your coffee cup to the floor, and chipped it. Whew, time for lunch, or whatever. Like, it seems like it's too much. He's too much of a no-no. More smartass.
More smartass. You want a young Sherlock Holmes?
No, a younger
like
Angela
Sherlock
Lansbury.
Holmes, younger, smartass.
A young Angela Lansbury.
like Penny Theft, She Wrote. kid murder shit.
Yeah.
Let's work on this, you guys.
My uncle was convicted of petty theft, I'm afraid, and the fact that you would bring that up really...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Offensive. It was an easy set.
Has your uncle committed any crimes that I should watch out talking to?
Hey, let's move on to the next
thing. He's related.
Oh, the next thing? Alright, that's it for the stat! And it is time for the next section, which is my favorite section. It's the section you guys make up. It's your audience questions, and for that we're going to bring up Booth Bag!
Booth Bag!
Hey, guys.
Hey.
As mentioned earlier, Booth Man lives in the booth.
Can I just say that, like, the no covers thing, that wasn't my fault.
Okay. Why you gotta bring it up? Nobody noticed.
You guys were too afraid to bring it up. And yeah. They knew, but they were polite.
Yeah, it was dogging us all show. Thank you for taking the burden off our
back. You're welcome. I got some questions.
Good.
Why'd you waste all that paper with those questions? Sorry, we were all thinking that as well, all show.
The sarcastic sip.
So the first question was actually one I thought of yesterday. So I have to ask it. I didn't write this. Wolverine question. I know you guys are probably going to talk about this, but
yeah, we will.
You definitely.
You might not bring this question up. Do you feel Wolverine's claws made the right sound, as in snick?
Oh.
And I saw
well,
your claws.
When they came out, it went boing.
No, that was me.
Yeah, it did sound a little lower.
If you, if you came out of that movie going, God, the Foley work in that really sucked, you were not watching clear enough.
Yeah, if that's your number one complaint, you must have a real forgiving
sense. Did they make a different sound?
Well, it was kind of a schloop.
Yeah, it wasn't the classic, yeah.
Well, a friend of mine brought up an interesting point. We were talking about the film beforehand and how it was always CGI. They were never practical claws like they were before. And they were much larger than they always seemed.
Yeah. They looked comically bad.
Awful.
Yeah, everything in the whole fucking movie was ridiculous and over the top.
But we're going to talk about it later.
But we could all agree that the claws were terrible and didn't sound right and didn't look right. And they kept wobbling all over the place.
I thought it was so weird that, like, for comic fans, seeing the bone claws was like, oh, that's cool, they know what they're doing. But for everyone else, it was like, I thought they were metal.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are
they bony? Yeah, people were asking me like that. Why did they fuck up his claws?
Yeah.
I was like, well, first it was
mistake. Oh, plus, like, a bone claw would hurt a lot to put in something or someone.
Yeah. More than metal?
It would hurt him, yeah. What? Because like, it would bend and break. Bone doesn't go through much.
Yeah,
it
goes through skin. They
yeah, yeah. No, I mean, but I'm saying it would hurt him. It would hurt him a lot.
Okay.
You were kind of busy during the movie, so.
Cool.
Raise your hand if you asked the question. Pete's going to bring you a gift, and let's get the next question.
Which comics creator do you think would be the best knife fighter?
Oh, which what?
Comics creator would be the best knife fighter.
Mark Millar.
What?
Scottish.
Yeah. Mean Streets of Glasgow.
There you go.
Jim Steranko. Come on. Can we go? Can we go Golden Age? Can we go Silver Age?
I'm not bashing the guy.
I'm saying he would kill me in a knife fight. I'm praising him.
When's the fight happening? Is it happening back then?
It's happening in a dark alley that he created.
I would say, what's the name of the guy with the Grievous with the voice?
Oh, he's Kevin.
Kevin Grievous.
Would be bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever talked to Kevin Grievous on the phone, star of the Underworld movies, as well as writer of New Warriors. But he talks like a horrifying robot from the future.
Yeah.
Well, the last name Grievous, he sounds like a horrifying robot.
Also, he's a giant man.
Yeah.
He's
crazy. Yeah. He's also really nice. That's the other thing.
With a voice like that, you have to be nice. Yeah. Otherwise, people would hang up. Get out of there.
Give me something.
Yeah. Knife fight? I don't know.
Jason Aaron.
Just because he writes Wolverine?
No, because when I met him, I was terrified.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Just?
Aurelio, too. He's a crazy looking dude. Like, the guy does 100 bullets.
Azarello?
That's Ryan. I called him Aurelio.
Aurelio.
Emilio.
Emilio.
Yeah, he's a crazy looking dude. Like, he looks like he owns a bunch of knives and carries them out.
Yeah. Then he'd be good at a knife fight.
Yeah.
Jeff Loeb.
Can we say Frank Miller from Wishes he was in a knife fight but never will be?
Yes. Yeah, that's fair.
All right, Bridget, you've asked the question. Please give you a gift, and let's get the next question.
What comic would you want to see exist that no one in the world but you would love?
These are
deep. These are really good questions, you guys. This is awesome.
But no one in the world would like?
But yeah,
the
actually?
Adventures of Pete.
What?
Sorry.
What happened?
What I missed?
We were talking about comic books that everyone in the world would like. And I said The Adventures of Pete.
Aww.
It would be a romance comic.
I don't know if you know my buddy's
lying to you.
Yeah.
Oh. Actually, the question was comics that everybody would hate but you would love.
That's not an answer. But that is what you would write. Yeah. 22 pages of arm punches.
What?
What is your answer? What's your answer?
My answer? Yeah. Power Pack versus Doug Locke in Cuddle Party.
That is exactly what you would
I would write that. Nobody would like it.
Well, when Alex reads his comics, when a big fight's about to happen, you can hear him whisper, cuddle, please cuddle. But
every
it never happens.
Yeah, it hurts every time.
It would be like a 30 comic arc of Wolverine and Punisher teaming up and just destroying everything.
That's happening right now at Astonishing Tales.
Yeah.
Well then.
Dreams come true. And only he would like. Did you find a magic lamp and make a wish?
I actually would love. You have those characters that you'd buy, and anytime you see them on a cover, the Wrecking Crew is my favorite team ever. I would buy their action figures right now if they were released. I don't even buy those anymore.
But why do you like them so bad?
The Wrecking
Crew. It's a magic crowbar.
It's not the magic crowbar. It's a story of friendship. How often is it that a supervillain goes, "Hey, you're my three best friends. How about I distribute my powers evenly?" It would just be like this great, like, I just imagine like a 40-year-old virgin type comic where it's literally like Thunderball and Piledriver doing the whole, "I know why you're gay, because you secretly wink at Thor." You know, but just like all these kind of like conversations and stuff. I never want to see them fight. I just want to see what those guys are like, because they
hang out.
They've been together for like 35 years now, maybe, you know, and they always screw each other over, but they always get back together. Like that's true.
That's like us.
Yeah.
That's not true about
us. I really wish Ron Mars was here just to have him between us right now. Wow, he turned on you. Just turned on your brother. You just turned on your brother.
The Wrecking Crew would
James,
never.
But now we're back together.
Yay! Have the powers of my magical water bottle. They're great! I have every Wrecking Crew comic that's ever come out.
Cool. Raise your hand if you've asked that question. Pete's going to bring you a gift. That's it for your audience question! Yay! All right. It is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
Yeah! Nice. First thing we're going to talk about, you guys. Little movie came out this week. Ghosts of Girlfriends Past.
I bet that movie was better than Wolverine. He was about to swing that in my head.
What did you guys say to X-Men Origins Wolverine?
I'm sick and tired of paying, you know, like 10, 12 bucks to get kicked in the nuts.
Well, that was just me. That didn't happen in the movie.
Still felt better than
Wolverine. Well, then stop doing that!
Sorry.
No, it's just ridiculous. Like, you know, like, I feel like I'm not the only one, but I mean, I'm the guy who buys all the Wolverine shit and, you know, really loves the character. And then when they go to put him on the big screen, they just fucking wreck all the backstory and wreck such a great thing. Like, the Punisher movie sucked. This sucked. Transformers was not for me. Like, I fucking watched every Transformers.
Why can't people get these deep characters right? Why is it all about shooting guns in the Punisher?
Why is it all about not just make it just that instead of being like, let's show the Punisher with a blanket? Like, what the fuck?
You know, it's like, he gets cold like any man.
Was he having a cuddle party?
You should watch the movie. Save rap to the credits.
Was there anything good about this movie?
Oh man, that exact scene where he's like cutting the helicopters up was kind of cool. The rest of the movie was. I don't think I've ever hated a movie so much in a long time.
Really?
I thought it was worse than Elektra, and I saw Elektra in the theater on my birthday.
A woman just fainted in the crowd. The only woman who was here.
Yeah. That's all we have is Elektra.
Yeah, it was. Hugh Jackman did a pretty good job. Except,
no, he was
phoning it in. He was fucking jacked in that movie.
Who gives a shit?
He worked hard to do that.
Well,
if the writer worked half as hard as him, it would have been like that.
He literally did this four times.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
I think you're doing that. It's actually the camera zooming away, and I'm going,
Snicked.
You're just a kid. Oh, young adult.
Ryan Reynolds was pretty good, though. I can't believe he gave that part such fanfare. Like, I can't. I'm so happy I'm playing Deadpool. He's in the movie for 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I just don't understand. Like, if you're gonna play Deadpool, fucking try to be Deadpool. Don't be fucking Ryan Reynolds from Blade Trinity.
That is what he does. I mean,
yeah, but fucking act. Be a different fucking person.
What?
Oh. Sorry, the
berserker
was,
rage.
You're L hulking out right now.
Don't heckle me.
I really like the opening sequence. I would say that the titles I thought were really propulsive.
The only thing that was missing from that opening sequence was Bob Dylan singing "The Times They Are Changing."
It's true.
The opening sequence.
That's it.
I'm gonna say something here that I think nobody is in agreement with me about. I actually liked this opening sequence better than Watchmen.
And they all turned against me.
I thought it was more fun.
When I saw the opening sequence and I saw Will I Am, I should have just walked out right there.
I'm done. He was terrible.
I did the same thing at the Black Eyed Peas concert. I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
Were you the guy like sitting like you? Did you hate this for like an hour and 15 minutes and go, no, but Gambit might still be good?
Yeah, right. Because
there were people who were just like, they might get something right. And his accent, like,
awesome.
In the first scene. That was straight Cage.
First
scene, but then it falls. And the way they explained him, his name is Gambit because he's good at playing cards.
Oh, no, the better one was Deadpool, actually.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a pool of powers. A
dead
pool.
Yeah. My favorite was, he's Weapon X. What does that mean? X, as in the Roman numeral for 10.
Don't worry, I'll come up with the weapon 11.
Yeah. All the actors then winked at you, the audience, and then the camera just froze for 5 minutes, as in the screening I saw.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Did everyone stay for the end of the credits? So they're in some theaters. They showed kind of two different clips.
Right. The greatest lines ever. Can I say it?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm not drinking to forget. I'm drinking to remember.
Wait, is this the other scene?
Yeah,
this is Wolverine. He's in Japan at the end. He like downs a thing of sake.
The bartender's like,
so they blew that storyline. Yeah.
The other one is Deadpool feeling around for his head, and then he goes, shh.
That was terrible. That was terrible.
Oh, I meant terrible.
Yeah.
That was funny.
No.
Are you the guy who liked it?
Yeah.
The one guy.
It's Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman actually, it's not bad. Hugh Jackman was quoted as saying that for the sequel, he wants it to be set in Japan because a lot of Wolverine comics are set in Japan. So...
He's doing his research.
Yeah, he's
the man
really
that's doing his research.
I thought the final battle against the Deadpool sort of character, it was like watching someone play Mortal Kombat. And
Baraka?
Yeah. It was crazy the way, and even the way it was shot, it was like.
And then the one guy was like, get over here!
Yeah. See, the thing is, like, it
did
was
you
so
guys
good.
Get to play at any point? Because I was like, hold on, let me try. I know this.
Yeah. You wrote the White Queen stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I remember
like,
the part
time.
You mean the bedazzled?
Yeah, she looked like she was literally bedazzled.
I just know that there's no part in Mortal Kombat where you just type in the word decapitate and Baraka just starts decapitating. That was the worst. The control screen,
Now, what did you guys think about Patrick Stewart? He's really let himself go.
Huh? Wow, look at all the makeup he had. It was ridiculous.
I think he's really shaping up nicely.
Like, why a horrible CGI Patrick Stewart? Like, he couldn't do it. Or why not just fucking do an over shoulder and show a little bald?
What I think is the camera crew snuck up on him and just filmed him. And they just green screened it.
He's just kind of saying that anyway.
Yeah.
He just walks around being like, come over here, mutants.
Yeah. Have you ever been to London? You can run into him and all.
Yeah, Trafalgar Square, he was saying it's just a pigeon.
He's really not crazy.
I mean, you think about like when Stan Lee doesn't even cameo in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really bad sign.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Fuck. He said, fuck this.
Yeah. I ain't doing this garbage.
Yeah.
That was a good Stan Lee impression.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Better than his own. I'll give you that.
I will not give you that. So go see that movie, and that's it for the Week in Geek. Alright, it's time for the next section, which is trivia. That we can go over to Mr. Pete LePage.
Alright!
Pete LePage.
Well, this is the part of the show where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who'd like a chance to win $25 free? Oh, well, you've won one before. You were second. I'm sorry, man. He was second. So I got to go with this guy. Come on down.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Tom.
Tom, audience? Audience, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Nice.
Here we go, Tom. So today's trivia is I'm Ron Mars. So this
Hi,
gift card,
I'm Ron Mars.
I don't have a resource to ask.
Yeah. I bet this sounds like hate trivia.
Don't ruin my punchlines.
Oh, my bad.
Okay. So all you have to do is listen to each question, then each possible answer. There's three of them. Choose the correct one, go 3 for 3, gift card yours.
Okay.
Here we go. Thank you, Luke. Ron Mars's most recent works for Top Cow will be relaunching what title? Is it going to be A, Cyber Force, B, Witchblade, or C, Who Gives a Shit He Sucks for Blowing Off the Show?
I think that's the right answer you want me to give.
Well, that's true. Well, let's go with the right answer. So it's either A, Cyber Force, or it's B, Witchblade.
Cyber Force is correct!
1 for 1. Here we go. Broken Trinity is the big crossover right now for Top Cow that Ron is working on. What is the current title? Is it A, Broken Trinity Aftershock? B, Broken Trinity Aftermath? Or C, Ron should get some kind of secretary to keep his days straight so maybe he won't hate us so much.
Taking a trend here.
Yep. So it's either A, which is a made-up title, or it's B, after Matt.
I'm taking B.
B is correct! I was nervous. You're doing the dramatic pause.
Thanks for taking that moment.
Yeah. Here we go. Don't get cocky. Here's the last one.
Don't get cocky.
If you were Ron Mars for a day, would you... A, write a story with Witchblade where she loses her power so she can't cover her nipples all the time. B, write a story with Witchblade struggling between her powers and being a real cop. Or C, be a man of your word, for Christ's sakes, and commit to doing live shows.
I would have to go with C on that.
Oh! 3 for 3, congratulations! $25 free.
That'd be a killjoy, to be totally fair. He can't be here because he's working on Broken Trinity and Witchblade tonight. So.
See, that's what he's doing right now?
Yeah.
He could have done it here. Hey, let me tell you, he needs help on those series.
If you read Witchblade, it doesn't take long.
It is mostly finding ways to cover her nipples while showing the rest of the breasts.
In this issue, Witchblade takes her braces off. Stick around.
As we all know, tomorrow
we I think we should say, realistically, you know, we like Ron Mars. We have no real beef with him.
You're the only one who hated him.
I like his work. I think he does good stuff. I just, you know, I want to poke a little fun since he, you know.
I don't think he listens to the podcast. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Every week he calls me and he's like, hey, I'm not going to come to the show, but I love your podcast.
Please get me on there somehow.
Yes, let's keep going with this. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
Image is doing a great creative series called Killer of Demons, and it's the 3 of 3, the last one, so I'm really interested to see how it's going to wrap up.
Nice. I'm looking forward to Cable number 14, continuing this Messiah War. It's been really nice. Who knew that Strife was such an awesome villain from back in the day?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to / Entry Wound, which is coming out tomorrow.
You weren't supposed to say this.
What?
You weren't supposed to bring it up.
But I did. I'm not going to tell you why. I'm just going to say people who have come to the show are really going to enjoy the new villain
in
the book.
Yeah, it's like a it's a repeat villain.
Yeah.
You could
say. Yes, one might say that.
Yeah.
So check it out, /entry or pick it up.
Wait, turn the page and you'll find a great villain. You finally did get your own comic book. Well, now that it's ruined, Pete is being written in by Tim Seeley.
Hopefully.
Touchy-feely Tim Seeley is writing Pete into Hackslash. Isn't that crazy?
So pick it up, /entry room, come out tomorrow, definitely pick it up. It's crazy. I've seen a couple of the pages.
That's ridiculous.
What are you looking forward to, Mike?
I was just looking at the list. Essential Spider-Man Volume 9. I love those. That's like when it's like late 70s, early 80s, and he has the worst villains ever in those.
Like the Wrecking Crew, I
think. Hey! Oh. Burning bridges all around!
Yeah, no Thunderball's here.
No. That's Bulldozer.
Man, I couldn't name two of those guys.
Crowbar.
Yeah, Magic Crowbar. The Wrecker. The Foreman. Is that one?
The Wrecker, Pile Driver, Bulldozer, and Thunderbolt.
The Blue... Yeah.
Nice. The Hard Hat.
The Blueprint Holder.
The Absorbing Man is not one of the Wrecking Crew.
But he's like friends with
him,
right?
Well, he also has a Wrecking Ball.
Yeah, that's why
he like looks at them and goes, wasn't I this idea 3 years before you?
But it's basically he can absorb anything, but he carries around a giant wrecking ball. Just be like,
it's a prison ball and chain, it's not a wrecking ball. It's very different.
Yeah.
You won your prize, all right?
Plug something you have coming up.
I actually, guys, I'm doing a show right after this called
He's
Writer's
Not Talking,
Room.
I'll tell you that right now. That guy.
You put on a halt.
Yeah,
Writer's Room is a stand-up show right after this. John Clark is hosting. He did the Comic-Con with me. It's going to be a great show. We've got some great comics on it. I'm going to be on the show. Please stick around. It's right here at 9:30.
Sweet.
Great plug. That's the most immediate plug anyone's ever done.
Quick thing before we go, you can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. A couple of people want to thank before we go. We want to thank Matt for being on the show. Yeah!